start with a short prayer, and then I'm going to do some sharing. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we can come together. We just know, Lord, that you are with us, and that, Lord, you are going to minister to each person is connected today with us, Lord. Just let your spirit be there right in the room, Lord, and they may be able to connect with you, receive from you, Lord, and be blessed. We thank you, for we know, Lord, that your Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, empowers us to overcome the enemy. And Lord, that we just rejoice together to be able to come together in through Zoom and, share with one another, come to the Word and worship together. We praise you and thank you and give you this meeting to you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. So I want to share to start with, some of the things that have been happening this week. This has been a really busy week. Lots of things taking place, and the Lord has been really good. First of all, lots of people came up down with COVID, starting with my wife. And just about for everybody, there was a miracle that took place. Starting with what happened with Liliane. The night before she realized she had anything, we were sitting together on the Chesterfield. I can't remember talking or watching TV or something, just relaxing. And I put my hand on her leg. And as soon as I did that, just something happened to my hand. I felt the anointing flowing through my hand in a way that was unbelievable and burning. And I was surprised. I asked her, "Do you feel that?" And she said, "Yes." So anyway, I didn't know what was going on. We didn't know anything. But the following day, she has a bit of a tingly on her throat, but probably it was even that day, but we weren't even thinking about it. And she wasn't thinking about anything whatsoever. Then I had a counseling meeting, and so she said, "Well, I don't want to come there. Maybe I have a bit of a cold." But she was never thinking that she had anything. But then she got the email from Lucy One, and she said that she had tested positive tested positive for COVID. So Lilian said, "Well, I'm going to test myself too, just to make sure." So what happened is that she tested and she was positive too. But she has absolutely no any symptoms whatsoever. Nothing, just completely no pain, no headache, no, nothing, absolutely nothing. So that's fine. Evidently, she had been healed before she even got the symptoms. That's my bottom line. So I started, I called Lucy Wan and we prayed together. By the time we finished praying, she's there. She can confirm that, she had a headache, she had a sore throat, she had pain on the body. All the stuff was gone. And she was free completely. Then I started getting calls from other people. I prayed at least for six people. And either they got, major improvement right away or just about, after death, everybody is feeling fine until yesterday, and that's the one I excited me more than anybody else. Okay, I heard from Lucy One told me that she had talked with Dorothy, and Dorothy was coming down. She was nausea and everything else in her stomach and feeling sick. So I said, "Oh no, I'm going to call her too." And I called her and she said, "Oh, I'm feeling a bit better." This morning I saw that she had called me just half an hour after my call, and I didn't realize that she was calling because my phone was off. So I called her this morning and she said, "Oh, I'm feeling just great today." So, everybody, and I was more concerned about her than anybody else because she was kind of weak. So, everybody, I just, the only person I don't know is you know, Steve, that I pray for him because I was one of the last one I pray. So I don't know, you know, the result there. Maybe may be able to share if well, the way he feels now.
Good. A slight cough. I feel really good though. Otherwise, and the cough seems to come and go. So.
Yeah, and that's okay. I mean, you know, it could be a bit of phlegm, but it's evidently, you know, the virus is weaker than the prayer. Amen? So we just rejoice. Okay. I mean, I had just, there was absolutely no one that didn't receive. And I'm really so pleased with that. It shows that there's nothing to be concerned. Even if a few people, I think at least maybe 8 people, 7 people, so that they got it. Maybe, I don't know, there could be more. We're going to find out, but that doesn't matter. We have victory. So I'm rejoicing about that. And we can start the meeting by worshiping the Lord. And I'm going to share some of the worship music so that we can worship together. You mute yourself because otherwise it's chaos here. But, you know, if anybody else beside the people that I mentioned got the symptoms or got something, just please let us know and we are going to pray for you too. And you're going to get it too. So, you know, is anybody else that got it after Sunday? Evidently not. Good. Yeah, I know. Lucy too got it, and I pray with her, and she's feeling good. Isn't it? Yeah? Yeah. Okay.
Pastor, okay, can I ask you for prayer? Can I ask me? I need prayer. Is it okay? It's not COVID-19.
Arsène raised his hand, Pastor.
Who?
Arsène.
Oh, Arsène. Arsène, where are you? There. Yes, Arsène.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so after Sunday too, I had some symptoms. And in fact, I was like, is it COVID or not? And by the grace of God, before Thursday, I was feeling much more better. But I didn't took the test to see whether it was COVID or not.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, but I thank God because I am up.
Yeah, that's right. So praise the Lord. That's
Amen.
Good. You know, the test sometimes gives false positive and false negative, so you can really go. But generally, you know, the type of symptoms that appears is, you know, there's characteristics for COVID, you know, generally with headaches and something like that with it when it starts. But, you know, Lilian didn't think that she had it. And, you know, and tested it just for sake of other people. And, you know, she was testing positive. I've been with her all the time. I don't feel anything. I don't need any testing. I'm not coughing or anything else, so it's fine. Praise the Lord.
Rachel.
She was sick, Pastor. Mary said she was also sick.
Yeah.
Mary?
Yeah.
Hi.
Okay. Hi. Where are you?
Hi.
All right, let me see you. I can see you here. Oh, Mary, no, that's Mary. Okay, I can see her. Okay, I'm going to go to the other. No. Anyway, why don't we pray for you right now?
Okay, thank you.
Are you feeling okay now or what?
I'm a little better. I am still feeling sickish, though. A little better, but it's still
okay.
Something.
Well, that's fine. Let's finish the job here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, in Jesus' name, we just take authority against these symptoms, Lord, in our body, against this virus has to go and leave our body right now. We thank you and praise you, Lord, that you are greater than viruses or anything else. The power in us raised Jesus from the dead. Is nothing to overcome this. In Jesus' name, we just release the power of God, the anointing, Lord, the life that you have, Lord, in Mary, and the Lord, that she may be able to receive it. We command the symptom to subside become less and less as even we are speaking, and we are using and working our faith together. And we, Lord, thank you. I give you praise and honor and glory, Lord, for the victory that is ours, Lord. Right now, any symptoms, if there is any feeling of nausea, any headache, or any muscle pain, or any other sore throat, or any cough, or anything, Lord, in Jesus' name, you become less and less, leave our body, and just go in the name of Jesus. And we just release the power of God, the power, the peace, the glory of God, Lord, the healing flowing from the top of her head to the top of her bottom of her feet, Lord, to fill her up and to give her, Lord, complete freedom from all the symptoms right now in Jesus' name. Just receive now and let God's power set you free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. By Jesus' stripes, she was healed. She is healed, and we're going to get the manifestation as the power of God is going to work and drive out all. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you that we can come together today, Lord, to worship you, to praise you, and to give you glory, Lord. Just let, Lord, each one of us, Lord, lift up their soul to you, Lord, to receive, to hear, to, Lord, appropriate the things you have done for us, Lord, to manifest, Lord, the things that you want to do in our life today. We may just come in contact with you, to receive from you, Lord. And anyone that needs a prayer, Lord, that after we can pray for them, Lord, and give you the honor and the glory to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so I'm going to be sharing the message, and then we can, if there is need for other prayer, other things, we can do it at the end. Praise the Lord. Our relationship with God makes all the difference in our life. We had to realize that. We've been talking about that. And, you know, I really think what happens is when we talk about these things, the Lord, you know, works in us and we experience the reality of that. You know, when just at the beginning of the week, after the service later on the day, on Sunday, I was trying to upload the message, the audio, and I was having problems, so I contacted the host, and them, instead of helping me to fix it up, ended up messing it up completely so that the website wasn't working anymore. At other time, I would have been concerned, but I wasn't concerned at all. I didn't care. You know, the Holy Spirit was with me. Just the Lord told me, you know, while you have been preaching about, you know, making your faith perfected, and, you know, now you have the opportunity to do so. So I just say, okay. And now the website is not really perfectly working to get working, but you can access all the video and the audio and everything else in it. Doesn't look good, but that's an opportunity for us to improve it. We've been thinking about doing that. But what I wanted to say is that the Lord has been actually ministering to me, and after all the other things have been really happening to show that God is with us and is there for us if we just believe, if we just keep our faith. You know, it's just not automatic. It's, you know, that's the difference between people that understand and, you know, the people that don't understand, that the one that can connect, stay connected with God, no matter what's going on, the circumstances, you know, they find the victory. The other ones, they stand not. Anyway, so it's very important for us to be associating with the wrong people, with the people that actually, you know, work connected with God and work with God. And, you know, this is clearly said in, you know, that, you know, especially if you're connected with God, you're more than people. Okay. And Psalm 1 says very clearly, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor understanding the way of sinners, the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Okay. So really, you know, we have to really look at what we associate with. Okay. Because, you know, if you're associating with the wrong people, they're going to influence you. And after a while, you're going to go down with them. Okay. So this is... this is repeated in many scriptures. Okay, for example, in 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, you know, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts the good habits. But, you know, I like it the way it said it even in the English Standard Version. It says, you know, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. You know, and this is really the interaction, the fellowship we have, you know, affects not just the moral, but the character, the habits, you know, and really the meaning of the word in Greek means, you know, the settled habits of the mind. So really we have to understand, you know, that who we associate with, okay, our connection have an influence on us, okay? And, you know, no matter, some people, you know, feel lonely and everything else, it's better to be lonely than to be in a relationship with people that takes you down. And if you have a relationship with God, you should not feel lonely because, you know, this is where you receive everything that you need. You know, going back to Psalm 1 and verse 2 says, but, you know, this person, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. See, that's where the strength comes. Okay, that is our delight more than any other connection. And when that connection is there, you know, the other ones are going to be all right too. It says there, okay, God and his word provides all the connection that you need. The other ones are going to be just that you are going to be connecting with them to minister to them. You know, and this verse 3 says, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. His whose leaf also shall not wither, but whatever he does shall prosper. See, it just doesn't happen by chance. It happens because we are connected with the source, because we are connected with him. Okay? Your connections are important. See, and when we are connected with him, we realize that he's in control, that he, you know, is there to help us, you know, but we have a part. It's not just him. See, we have been connecting ourselves with him, and we have decided to trust him. That what makes the difference. And that would give us in our heart and spirit and our soul, you know, the strength to cope and to deal with whatever circumstances come along. Okay. We've been reading Psalm 103 and talking about that. And really, there's a scripture there that, you know, should help us to do that. And we're going to kind of do this today together to make that connection. You know, we talk about theory. I'm going to try to show, you know, the practical aspect of this. Okay, Psalm 103 verse 19 says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. Okay, do you believe the word? You believe that that's true? You believe that he has established his throne in heaven? You know, if he established his throne in heaven, that means, you know, nothing on earth can change it. See, the spiritual dimension is much more powerful than the physical dimension. If his throne is a sign of authority, the power that he has is in heaven, then, you know, that is influencing and controlling everything else. Okay, his kingdom rules over all. See, if we just even meditate on this scripture, we can see, okay, the impact that we should experience. Okay, the fact that, you know, the difference that we should see in our life, you know, And there are other scripture, you know, for example, Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Okay. And that means, you know, that's done. But, you know, the way it's going to be manifested in you is, have you settled that on your heart, inside your heart? You know, because that, you have a part to do that. You have a part to line up yourself, to agree with him, and to allow the truth that he has established already, you know, through his will and his, you know, laws, principles, okay, in heaven, you know, to be manifested in you. That's what makes all the difference. Okay. God is faithful, you know, and his faithfulness, you know, is the, you know, is together, is connected, you know, with, you know, his word. His word is his faithfulness, because his word is what he is like. But if we are not connected with his word, it is not going to be manifested in us. Okay, in, you know, Psalm 19, you know, that I said, verse 89, you know, there start a section that, you know, of that psalm that is connected to the word Lamed. Okay, and the word, you know, as an implication, it talks about the faithfulness of God. There are 8 different elements of that faith that are listed after Psalm verse 89. Okay, so, you know, forever the Lord, your word is firmly, actually, I like the way this translation sounds, you know, forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heaven. Then verse 90, your faithfulness endureth to all generation. You have established the earth and it stands fast. See, there are consequences here, okay? It just... there is going to be always the same, okay? And he says, you know, your faithfulness is established and stand fast, and it's also here, down on earth. But unless we make the connection with the word, you know, it's not going to be manifested in us. Verse 91, for your appointment, they stand this day, for all things are your servants. You know, I like the word appointment there that he was used. There's another word in the New King James, but, you know, actually there's a word there is translated ordinances, but really the word really means appointment, or actually even better, decrees. Okay, your decrees, what you have spoken, what you have said, okay, is stand to this day, okay? You just is going to, you know, to all generation endureth. Okay, your appointment stand to this day, for all things for are your servants. So, you know, it stands even now. And what we have to do is have our declaration lines up with him. As we align ourselves with him, then our declaration are going to line up with God's declaration, with God decrees. And we have to learn to speak the way God speaks. We had to learn to say, you know, we had to learn not just to speak it with our mouths, but to actually speak it with our heart. It has to come from our heart. Our heart has to be lined up with what God's declaration is. And then when that is the case, there is no blockage. There is no hindrance for his power and the power of his decree to work in your life. Continuing verse 92. Okay. If your laws had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. You see, if we don't line up with that, if we are not letting the word be his word and his laws and his principle be our delight, what happens, we are focused on something else. We are focused on our circumstances. Our circumstances are taking over, and God's power is going to be, you know, we are not going to activate it in our life. We need to delight in his word. As I said before in Psalm 1, you know, delight in his word day and meditate on it day and night. That's what makes the difference. Verse 93. I will never forget your precepts, for them, for by them, you are giving me life. You see, by these instructions, the way that we have to act and all, you know, as we line up with them, not just in our speaking, but actually in implementing it in our life, then, you know, we are given life through that. We are given, you know, be able to overcome through that. And then goes on, I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. So you see, this is the position that we take. That is a statement of position that we take in terms of the where we stand concerning God's word, concerning God's faithfulness, concerning God's control over our life. And then goes on, you know, in that verse 95, says, the wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. See, the enemy can do anything if we are just considering the things, you know, the testimonies are so important, you know, to see what God has done before for us, for others. So this is why it's so important to share our testimony. That's our witness that he is real, that he is acting on our life, that he is producing the result. And that not only that, but that also gives us strength to deal with the situation that are coming against us. Okay, no matter what the weakest try to do to destroy us, they cannot succeed. Okay, verse 96, I've seen a limit in all perfection, but your commandment are exceedingly broad or exceedingly powerful or cover everything. So you can see this is the attitude, the mentality, the position of our heart. When we have that position of the heart that is determined that way, there is no way that we can be defeated. And we have peace all the time. And we are going to see how actually the words shows us the process on which we establish these things in our heart. We are going to do it just together, even this morning. Okay. What we focus on, I repeat that all the time, okay? With that, we give power. We should focus not on our circumstances or our problems or the things that happen around us or happen in the world. What we have to focus is on the Word. And that, you know, as we focus on that, we are not waver. And so, you know, we are going to get results. That's going to make the difference. That's what is going to give us the victory, okay? Don't, you know, we must follow his instruction, his precept, the way I was saying before. This is going to manifest his faithfulness. You want to manifest his faithfulness? You have a part you play because you make your choices. God has given you the choices, the choice to be able to decide what you're going to do, what's going to happen with you, because he has given you the power to influence your outcomes, okay? God tells you, instruct you to look at the Word, not your situation. You do it. You actually do it the moment in which you are tempted. You see, that's why James 1 says, count it all joy when you go through some tests. Okay, now, you know, your tests, they're going to come up, nothing else that perfecting your faith, making it grow. So don't be concerned about that. Okay. We have to realize that we should have a different perception, a different view of what's going on with us and around us if we are believers. Are we believers or are we doubters? That's the bottom word. Okay, that's the bottom idea that we have to accept. Are we believers? And then we look at the Word. If we are doubters, we are looking at the circumstances, and then we become doubters. The more we do that, the weaker we are. In Proverbs chapter 4, starts, generally, you know, this verse is not read, but that is an important one because the introduction of the other. See, we always look at the context of where things are written. Okay. Proverbs 4:19 says, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Do you know what makes you stumble? Do you know what gives you the problem? Okay. If you don't know it, that means, you know, your art is distorted, is wicked, is not the way God wants it to be. When your heart is lined up with His word, the way I was saying before, then you get clear indication when something happening for you to give, to know exactly the way out. But if you look at the circumstances and you give power to them instead of the word of God, they contradict the word of God, then you are going to lose ground and you are not in the position to hear anymore properly. Okay. Believers looking at the circumstances operate like the wicked that is in darkness. They are not, you know, going to develop, and you can see it. You know, they even try to do the right thing, but they end up doing the wrong thing. And what they do, they develop circumstantial theology. What's circumstantial theology? It's a theology, you know, you interpret God according to the circumstances instead of interpreting God according to the word of God. So a believer, based on the physical result, what they're going to say, for example, you know, God does not want to heal everybody. Well, that's not true. God wants to heal everybody. That's circumstantial theology. Okay, or God is teaching you a lesson. God is not teaching you any lesson. You are called to overcome. Okay, God's word is clear. Many places you have to receive. You cannot take just one scripture and make it up. You know, you have to take the whole Bible, the whole counsel of God, put it together, and then you're going to be able to have the right attitude, the right, make the right decision, you know. John 3:2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." That's pretty clear, you know. But then says, "Yes, but none." There is not a yes, but, you know. James 1:16 says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift, comes from above, and comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." See, many think that they are spiritual, but actually they are deceived. Be careful the way you pray. Be careful what you believe. Are you believing according to the word of God or according to doctrines of men? See, continuing verse 18 of James chapter 1 says, "On his own will he brought us forth." You know, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. Okay, so that's what the way he works. He brings us forth. He makes us grow. He develops us, not by giving trouble, but by the word, that we may be kind of first fruit of his creation. So you see, that's the thing, that the way he works. That's the way, you know, he speaks to our heart. And then you had to move on it, knowing, you know, basing yourself on his own word, on his word. That's what makes the difference. That's what empowers us. That's what enables us to overcome. When we allow ourselves not to be tempted, or not to be confused, or better, not to be deceived by our circumstances, but we instead look at the word and go to the word and delight in the word. And as we delight in the word, our attitude, our position, our thinking, our heart is affected, and we are going to be completely unmovable. But otherwise, we are going to be tossed around and waved like the wave of the sea and get nothing. And then we wonder why, and we start making theology idea. Well, God might may not want be teaching me something, or may, you know, try to, you know, doesn't want to do it with me. That's complete nonsense. That's not the word. That is man's doctrines, and that's going to keep you bound. See, that's, you know, and it's just, it would be one scripture, then I would say, well, you know, maybe that. No, the whole scriptures, the whole word, there is no any contradiction. When you have the right interpretation, you find the same message all over the Bible, because the truth is not just one thing. It can be represented or expressed in many different ways. If you go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, you get the same thing. You know, it says there, as is divine power, has given to us all things that pertains to life and godliness. Hallelujah. Okay. Has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness. Can you say that too? I mean, just you had to get into that. You had to allow yourself to line up yourself. That means, you know, think about the same way, just express the same way, just move the same way, just have the same perception, just drive out any thought of unbelief, drive out any thought of, you know, your thinking of the circumstances, interpretation, you know, those are nothing they can change. But you had to change first. And so that's the way you start. Okay. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You believe that. Okay. How do you do that? You know, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So, you know, it's the, what he did, the knowledge, his knowledge. What is his knowledge? The knowledge that we receive from him. Verse 4 says, by which this knowledge has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. You see, that's the knowledge we had to have. We had to know the promises, because if we don't know the promises, we have nothing to base ourselves on. You know, God is very clear about telling what he wants to give us. What God wants to give us, nobody can stop you from getting except for yourself. Because you listen to somebody else. What the devil says, what people says, what doctrine of men says. Instead, you know, you have to look at the word of God and says, I'm not going to be moved. I'm going to stand on that. This is the promise of God, and I'm going to just manifest it in my life, because this is God's will. This is God's will for me. No, I don't know if God wants to do it. Well, then you don't believe anything. You are in unbelief, and you're not going to get it. Just get off unbelief and start, you know, looking at the promise that have been given you that are exceedingly great and precious. That through this, you may be partaker of the divine nature. Hallelujah. See, that's the divine nature. The power of God is going to be manifested. You're going to be partaker of the power of God. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world to last. You don't need to last anything. You just need to receive it. And as Jesus came, actually, to this is the knowledge of him that we have to receive. Jesus came to reveal this to us. And we have a part we play in actually manifesting it. And there are many places, you know, in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't matter where you read. You know, things were received by people the same way. God does not change. God is always the same. And he's going to work always the same way. Maybe expressed different ways, and sometimes they're not expressed in a way that is not very clear, but this doesn't make any difference. It's always based on God's word, the victory, you know, and the promise of God, what you're going to see when you're going to see the power of God manifested in your life, when you're going to see victory, when you're going to see, you know, says, you know, your leaf shall not wither, and whatever you do shall prosper. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you're really focusing on the word, that you are delighting yourself? I mean, it doesn't say, you know, I'm going to do Bible study today, but big deal, then you're going to just get nowhere. It's not by doing Bible study today and using your mind, it's by actually appropriating the word, starting to move the word inside your heart, so that you're receiving it, that it becomes a reality for you. Unless that happens, if you keep thinking, if your feelings and emotions and attitude depending on the circumstances, you are going to be defeated all the time. You are going to stay in your circumstances and keep manifesting them. You have to start at, you know, when you start feeling a difference inside you, so that your attitude starts changing, and you start feeling victory even before you have victory. That's where the faith is operating, is acting. You are not wavering anymore. You are not accepting the circumstances. You are not believing in the circumstances. You are believing in the word. You have to choose God's word, not what people say, see, or whatever in the flesh. Those are just things, you know, we don't look at the things that are on earth. We look at things that are in heaven. In heaven, you have been healed already. In heaven, you have been delivered. In heaven, you got victory. In heaven, you get to your problem resolved. Hallelujah. And it's better than before. Because if you are taking that position and you have done that, what happened? Your faith is being perfected. And your faith is going to be at a new level. And if you don't keep looking at circumstances after, you're going to keep moving up. And this is so clearly, you know, the process, okay? The process is explained many places in the Bible, and we're going to see as many as we can today. You know, we're going to see actually how you are going to be able to stand firm no matter what's going on if we are doing Psalm 1:1-3 says. Delight yourself in the word. Don't be affected. If you start feeling sorry for yourself, you are in the wrong place. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let's see, for example, you know, in Old Testament, you know, there is all the steps right there for the process to take place, okay? But the thing is, it just doesn't happen by itself. See, God wants you to line up with him. God wants to start you to trust in him. How do you trust in him? Well, if you trust in somebody, what you're going to do is to do what they tell you to do. And if you do what they tell you to do, that means you trust him. If you don't do it, do something else, you trust what you're following. That's pretty simple. So trust in the Lord is the victory, okay? I mean, even just as Proverbs 3:5-10, you know, tells you there, but I'm not going to go into that. I repeat it all the time. I'm going to use Proverbs 4:20 and following, okay? Because there it says, you know, I read before, you know, if you, you know, I read before, I was talking about 1st, 2nd Peter, you know, I read to you Proverbs 4:19. The day of the wicked is like darkness. The wicked is the one that doesn't think like God. I don't care what this, anybody don't think like God has a wicked heart. Okay? They do not know what makes them stumble. So we, if we, our heart is wicked in any way, we don't even know what's the problem, what makes you stumble, why we are in trouble. Okay, but if we are not wicked, if we think the way God thinks, if we line up with thinking with that, with him, then we are going to feel different, we are going to see things different, we are going to be, you know, our attitude is going to be different. You know, and then, you know, following verse 4:20 says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. In the midst of your heart, you know, that means, you know, that you, in your heart means you value them. You cherish them. See, that's focusing. That's what you give power to. What you focus on, you give power. If you give attention to his word. I mean, you put them, you know, ear, listen to them. Just keep them before you. Don't look at the wrong things. Keep them, value them, cherish them in your heart so that they're there and not the other things are there. When you are there, you know, they're going to produce result. Verse 22, they are life to those who find them, and health or a cure, if you want, or medicine, that word to say, to all their flesh. That's the thing that is going to produce the manifestation in you, because they are life. The power of the life of God is going to be operating in you and is going to manifest in your life, in your circumstances, and everything else. And this is why, you know, we need to learn to do that. And to do that, we have to protect ourselves from the influences of the world, the wrong, the wrong connection, the wrong influences. Okay, and so in verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. See, the result you get, okay, if you don't keep your heart, are going to be the wrong one. So you have to protect yourself. You have to shield yourself from all the wrong thing, because there is the source of all the things that are not going to go the way God wants. And so there are things that you have to put off and the things that they are put on. Okay. And it's the same thing as Paul says, and you know, in many different places. Okay. Verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put the perverse lips far from you. The deceitful mouth is something, is nothing else that speaks something contrary to the word of God. Everything that is contrary to the word of God is deceitful, is not the truth. And so you be putting away, don't say the things that are contrary to what God says. So God says, by Jesus Christ you are healed, don't say things that, I'm getting worse or whatever. You take a position right there. And then goes on. You keep focusing the right way. Let your eyes look straight ahead. And your eyelid look right before you. Okay, so that is really the thing that you do. What you're looking on? Looking straight ahead means, you know, you look exactly in the direction that God wants you to look. That means what you do, you look at the promises. If you keep looking at the promises, you see, don't deviate from looking at other things. Don't look at the other things and circumstances. Don't be distracted. Don't be deceived. You know, distraction and deception comes together. You first get distracted, you know, get your attention in the wrong place. You know, started with, you know, give attention to my word. Don't let anything take the attention off there. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. Okay, then goes on. Okay, all the steps are there if you understand them and you start applying them, and there is no way that you're going to be defeated. Verse 26, ponder the path of your feet, let your ways be established. See, what is ponder? Ponder is the same word that used for meditate. See, meditate the path that you take. Meditate on what God is telling you. Meditate that you have to go from here to the promises. Spend time on the meditate on the promises of God. That's the path that has to take you there. And this is what you had to learn to do. You know, it's not meditating on the wrong thing. It's not thinking about the wrong thing. It's not thinking about what people says and complain about. Okay. Verse 27, do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. So, you know, this is pretty clear. Don't get distracted. Don't get out of focus. Stay focused. Okay. Because you are committed your attention, your intention, and your planning to what God said, to the promises. Okay. That what makes the difference. That's what is going to get your faith working. That's what's going to make the difference for you. Okay. Now, this is Old Testament. New Testament says the same thing. I mean, not in many places. I mean, this is just everywhere. There is no any possibility to find a different way. If you don't apply all these things, you know, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get anywhere. Okay. Notice your attitude and your feelings. Okay. Notice the way you feel and control them. Take charge. Okay. It says there, you know, protect your heart with all diligence. How do you protect your heart? You notice those things and make a decision about when you are being distracted, when you are being deflected. See, New Testament is the same. I mean, says the same thing. You know, Psalm Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. I mean, you see, I'm being anxious or being worried. You know, you start meditating on the problem. You start meditating on the wrong outcomes. You start projecting things in the wrong direction. You are actually meditating. You know, people say, I don't know how to meditate. You do it naturally because everybody meditates, but generally they meditate on the wrong thing. When you leave it by itself, you meditate on the wrong thing. No, be anxious for nothing. As soon as you find out that there is some anxiety going inside you, stop right here. I had to change this situation. Start focusing on the word. Start looking at the word. Start looking at the promises that defeat that anxiety. Okay. It says, but everything by prayer and supplication, you know, or request, better, you know, with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. So you see, you go, says, Lord, you know, I don't want this. Yes, praise, thank you for the promises. You see, refuse to be anxious. Meditate on negative circumstances. This choose to trust God. That's the first step. Instead of when you decide to trust God and you start doing that, there is no anxiety inside in you. Okay. And it says, that's the verse says, the following verse says exactly that. And the peace of God, that means no anxiety anymore, which surpasses all understanding, will guard, you see, protect your heart with all diligence, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. See, God's power, God's anointing, God's word is going to take over and give you peace so that you are actually, you know, it's not that you are holding on there and standing, no, you're moving from one space to another. You are moving from connected to the physical world to connected to the spiritual dimension, to God's kingdom, and the God's kingdom is going to be manifested in you. The peace of God will be manifested, and the peace of God, God is a God of peace. If you have faith, if you are lining up with him, you are going to have peace. And you're going to be not concerned about what's going on next, because you know that no matter what's going on next, you're going to have victory. Okay. So instead of worrying, okay, and praying amiss, you have to be careful the way you speak and what the position is. And what it says here is plain, you know, how actually you're thinking your meditation has to be. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Basically, you are the only thing you have to do is think and about God and his promises. Stop meditating on things that are not that way. And when I talk about meditating, you know, means ponder, consider, to count on, to think on, to focus on, to contemplate, whatever you want to do, to imagine what's going on, whatever. Okay. And then goes on, says, the things which you learn and receive and heard, and so in me, these do. And the peace of God and the God of peace will be with you. See, can you do that? Absolutely. If he could, if I could, if other could, you can do it too. Praise the Lord. You had to convince yourself. You had to accept yourself. I can do it. Just say it right now. I can do that. I can do that. Everybody can do that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But, you know, just thinking about not doing it doesn't do it. You know, you had to be in it. Okay, you had to be participating. You had to, you see, when you know when that happens, because the peace of God is going to be in you because you have actually got involved, got participating, got doing it for you. Okay, so at that time, you are, you know, when you have peace inside, you are in faith. When you don't have peace, you are not in faith and you are not in the position to receive. If you're sick, don't pray that God heals you. You know, just start believing that by stripes you were healed, and you start getting into the word to believe so that you can believe that the power of God is in you to set you free. Don't ask God to fulfill his promises. God has done everything that had to be done already through what Jesus did. The job is finished. Now it's your job to receive, to appropriate. And so instead of asking him to do what he has already done, start praising him that you are going to receive it and start taking it, because you know that's what faith is. Faith receive lambano, what God has given us. But you have to decide, you know, make all the decision before, that you're going to believe, that you're going to stand there, that you're going to take this, start acting according to faith, because you believe what God said. And you are basing yourself on his word. Okay. God works in you, you know, through his word. It may work through you what somebody else says, but you have to be careful if somebody else can say things contrary to his word, and that is going to affect you in a negative way. Okay. Protect your heart from any unbelief. This is what keeps people from receiving. Okay. And, you know, in Hebrews, it talks very clearly about that. These are all the instructions. This is God. You see, look at the word of God as the instruction, the precept. See, because I believe, you know, I follow you, applied your precept, you know, I am in victory. That's what it says in Psalm, you know, 119, those verses that I share with you. You know, this is so important. Okay, unless we do the things, we are not going to see the result. We have to follow his direction, okay? And this is what, and he gives us an example in Hebrews chapter 3, gives us the example, okay? At the end, the last verse of the chapter 3 says, you know, so we see that they could not enter in, the promised land, the promise, because of unbelief. That's the thing that kept them out of it and died in the desert. We don't need to do the same, because we can see their experiences and we can learn from their experiences. And if we continue next chapter, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 says, therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, see, we have to lay place to the place of rest. Our heart has to be settled there. Okay. So, you know, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Okay. If you, you know, you better take action. That's the fear of the Lord. It's not fearing God. You know, God wants to give it you. God is not producing the problem. You know, you are the problem. And if you accept that, and that's the first thing to accept, if you don't have the peace, then you have to get to the place of peace. Okay. For indeed, the gospel was preached. Okay. So let's fear that unless we come short of it. For indeed, verse 2, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. So we are in exactly the same situation than the, you know, the children of Israel were. But the word which they heard did not profit them, nor being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So the idea, you see, this is the thing, okay? Do not mix with faith. I mean, that means you can do the mixing with faith. I mean, you know, how can you, if you think God is going to be the one giving you faith, well, you're deceived already. Faith is a decision you had to make to believe in the word of God and taking that position, taking that stand and not believing anything else. You reject all the false doctrines and you accept what God says. You know, just the old scripture I read before, they point all to that. You do that, you apply my precept, and you are going to be blessed. You are going to overcome the enemy, the coming, whatever enemy it is, spiritually, physically, mentally, whatever, doesn't make any difference whatsoever. You have to mix the word with faith. That means you have to, you know, that means that, you must do something. It's not God doing it. If you wait for God to do it, you're going to be waiting for a long time. Because he's not going to do it, because he did already what he needed to do. And if you ask him to do it, he's going to just refuse to do anything because he has finished. He's no use to beg God to keep his promises, that accusing him of being unfaithful. Okay. And study the practice, you don't understand what the word says. Okay. You are not benefited from what Jesus did for you. So really, you know, up to now, he came in vain for that thing, because it doesn't work. See, he came, he has done a thing, and he's finished. He cannot do anything anymore. Now it's your time to take, and instead of looking at your senses and your circumstances, to look at God's promises and mix your faith, not God's faith, your faith with them, believing and appropriating them. Praise the Lord. And so this is where, you know, you implement Philippians 4, 6 to 9 that we read before. You know, do not let them, do not, you know, worry about anything, you know, be anxious for nothing, but start thinking about with the word, start going to the word, start meditating in the word, fixing yourself in the word, believing the word, and mixing it with your faith, which is the decision to believe in it, to trust God for it, and to see it manifested in your life. Okay. This is the experience that we should expect in 12. You know, and you can take according to what your need is, according to whatever it is, you have to apply to yourself. For example, you know, we can do some experience of that type. You know, for example, we're using Psalm 23. Okay. You start taking any scripture that applies to your situation, and you start, you know, and any of the scripture we said before, and you start using them to shift your place and to establish peace inside yourself. For example, you know, starting from Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So you see, that's starting to appropriate. I got everything I need. Thank you, Lord. You start meditating on that verse. You start believing. You start applying to yourself. You start developing. You start getting that inside your heart so that your heart accepts that you shall not want, that you are not there needy of things. You know, neediness doesn't impress God. The only way to please God is not neediness or to move God. People preach that there is no place in the Bible says that. It's faith. God is moved by faith. Your faith. And so this is what has to happen. You have to appropriate. I shall not want. I have enough. I have your word. I delight in your word. I delight in the fact that you are my shepherd. I can trust you. I choose to trust you. I don't care about anything. And you let go of all the other pressures or all the other things that try to control you. Okay. Then goes on, you know, and just to be able to see is helping you to visualize the effect. He makes me lie down in green pasture and lead me beside still waters. Okay, well, you know, this is explaining an experience to you, making it visualize so that you can actually visualize the idea. Okay, and that sometimes you can do that, and there's nothing wrong with that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I can be, you know, you take me the right place. You provide for all my things. And you start meditating on that and start seeing it, start imagining it, start allowing your thoughts to dwell in there. And then goes on, says, usually one of the results of that, as soon as you feel that, as soon as you are relaxed, as soon as you start letting go of all the pressure of the world, he restores my souls. Hallelujah. Your soul get starting to, your inner man start to feel different, start to feel stronger, start to feel peace, start to be the peace of God that passes all understanding. See, they're talking about always the same thing. Okay. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. You see, he doesn't, you don't do it, don't work. Try not to earn this anymore. You know, it's not that you work to get it. You just start applying your faith. By faith that you are saved, not by works. So you see, it's by, you know, the path of righteousness is actually the path of faith for his name's sake, for what he has done. And you just start meditating on that, letting that become a reality in you. And you can continue on every the verses that on the Psalm or any of the other places that we have been reading today. And you just start allowing that truth to minister to your heart, to start becoming a reality in your heart so that you can actually start affecting your attitude, your feelings, your faith, becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. See, this is the way you perfect your faith, by standing on all the time that you are tempted to or are in a situation that is going to be affecting you in any negative way, and you start to detract you from there, you get back there, and you are not there panicky or lacking of patience for the things to manifest. You just don't even think about it. Just focus on him. Be not deceived. All the good things come from God. So, let's apply this. Let's work according to the, you know, good works, faith works in our life. Develop the strength inside you. And, you know, do what Jesus did, who, for the glory set before him, he endured the cross. He just went through, didn't mind what was going through, didn't even say, didn't open his mouth, the word says. And for the glory set before him, and now he sat at the right hand of God. See, that's the glory that is going to be manifest in us as well. That's the promise for him, and that promise included us all. So let's just believe that, stand on that, and receive that. Praise the Lord. Let's just pray together. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you that we have promises, exceedingly great and precious promises that we can look at, that we can stand on, that can change our physical conditions in life, because they operate according to your principles, according to your laws. I thank you that I can mix my faith with your word, with your promises, and expect and know they're going to be manifested in my life. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your victory that you are willing to give me. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So now if you took that inside yourself and start lining up with those thoughts that I already, you know, showed before, but I wanted to repeat them and reinforce them. And we all have to do that. That's what exactly we do when we stand on the word and we allow the word to become, you know, part of our thinking, meditating on our things. Essentially, what we are doing here is meditating on God's word. So if you have things you want to lift up and want to apply that in a specific way, that's a good time maybe to pray for that to happen and to start applying this principle in your situation, in your specific need that you should not want about that you receive today. So if we have a prayer request, we can pray together. I can pray for you and you can, go along with me.
I have a prayer request. A little testimony is that my right leg has been healed.
Okay.
But I have to stay in that position because it comes back. It's been healed because yesterday I was helping people. I helped Patricia remove her conditioner and I raked the leaves in the morning at the church. If I would have been in the condition on Friday, I would not have been able to do those things. So praise the Lord for that. But, because of my health issues, I have a lump underneath my right arm that's been hurting for the past. I had a sensor had to remove it. So I'm going to see my healthcare provider on Wednesday, but I'm asking the Lord to do something about that. I can't expect immediate results. I sometimes fall in frustration because I want immediate results. I can't do that. So I have to pray. I don't know if it's a case of unbelief that I suffer from, or I'm waving like the toss, like the sea waves.
Just make a decision. And we're going to make a decision now, and you're going to find the peace. And as you find the peace about what to do, says that just the thing we said before, you're going to believe God. Okay?
Right.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. We just come before you right now with this decision for him. Lord, we ask you, Lord, that he may just look at your word, look at the word, Lord, that the way what you said with the things we are going to share today, Lord, that, they may not look at the circumstances.
Yeah.
Continue looking at the word. Take action on the word. Lord, the experiences he had even yesterday may be, Lord, something that enable his faith to grow to a new level in which he can take more of, the things you had done for him, Lord, and take the word to mix it with faith, Lord, that may not, Lord, look at the circumstances on which, they're going to be affected, his thinking and his doing, Lord, in such a way that he's, frantic and fearful and, lacking of patience, that he can trust you and your timing, Lord, for the situation as, he believe, he stand in faith, he, Lord, take a position. And we just thank you, Lord. And we command those things that affecting him physically, all of them, all any symptoms in his body to subside and grow in the name of Jesus, your power and your anointing to operate in him to bring about healing, for the growth that he has, for the other problem with he has with the diabetes or the other things, Lord. We just take authority in Jesus' name, Lord, that your power, your anointing, your word, your promises, Lord, may be the things he looks at. And Lord, any of the other things that come at him, that shoot at him, Lord, that brings us in a place in which there is no peace, and there is confusion, and there is fear, and there are other things that are not of you, that blocks, Lord, your operation, the operation of your power, Lord, may be removed from him, Lord, that we may focus, and Lord, get to a place in which he knows. He stand on peace, he stand on victory, he stand on a place in which he can not waver, but stand firm. And he can expect things to start changing, Lord, bit by bit, as he is going to start seeing some manifestations of your operations and going to go fast, not quick, not slow, fast and better and getting from place to place, from glory to glory, from victory to victory, Lord, from faith to faith.
Amen.
The place that you have, so that he can look at the glory set before him instead of looking at what he can see in the physical now.
Mm-hmm.
So that he start shifting his thinking, his attitude, his feelings from where he is to where there should be. And he, Lord, can start depending on your word rather than the physical thing. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Anybody else?
Can I share something?
Yep.
Just as we were praying for Jean, it just came to my mind that we know when we are in the process of taking a position, and because maybe we're not quite there yet, but we know, you know, our mind knows what we have to do. We have to align with the word. We have to focus on the word. We have to assimilate the word, make it part of us, and really change our belief system. It's a bit of a process, perhaps, but we're and in that process, who we share that with is very important. It has to be very thoughtfully and carefully done. The people of the world, I mean, forget it. But even because they can easily derail our faith and shipwreck us quickly. But so that should be obviously very cautiously done, I think. But even people that are consider themselves believers and consider themselves Christians, they can also shipwreck us. So it's I think it's very careful, like that when Amen. I'm there, I'm not going to share with anyone who calls themselves a believer. I'm going to share with people that have greater faith than me, so that they're going to be affirming and building and, you know, willing to pray with me. But anyone that's struggling themselves, I mean, I'm keeping that one to myself because I don't want to be shipwrecked, you know?
Amen. Amen. Well, that's, you know, the thing I said before, protect your faith with all diligence. Be careful who you are influenced, the people that you are associating with, because just one word sometimes can make you waver. And that's the thing that we have to protect ourselves from. And we, in some cases, the best thing is just keep staying the word, meditate on the word day and night. And they shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever they do shall prosper. And we believe this promise or not. We can stand on these promises, or God is still lying to us. I think we have to look at our attitude concerning the word and start acknowledging that sometimes there are things that we have to realize and work on. And get to a place in which we are fully persuaded and not, you know, place that we repeat things because others repeat things. Praise the Lord. Okay.
Just perhaps to share from what Steve said, that sometimes what we share can be an opportunity to plant a seed, though, to people who don't know the Lord. Like when I got sick, I had planned to go on a hike with a friend who is a non-believer, I think, but she has some roots. And I said, I disregard my symptoms and I believe I'm already healed and I'll be fine. Let's go. And she said, fine. So we went and I hiked, but I wasn't feeling too good, but I kept going. And then at the end of the day, pastor prayed for me. And then the next day I was healed. So the faith worked. And then she wrote to me that next day and she said, so how are you feeling today? And I said, I am healed. And she said, well, definitely your method is working fine. I am curious about it. So she asked me, and then that's when this morning I wrote her a message and I explained, I told her about the Lord, and she was really happy I did that. So who knows what's going to happen next, you know? So even if she's a non-believer, she's not closed. She did not
Amen.
dismiss Amen. My faith. Amen. So anyway. So.
Praise the Lord. That's good. You know, what I was sharing the last Thursday, you know, it's our testimonies are important, especially when people have seen the things taking place. You know, like, you know, let's take this, that what happened this week. Okay. We have not one healing taking place, but we have, I don't know how many, because I don't know how many are going to be yet coming. Okay. But just about, you know, everybody got it. You know, some right away, some instantaneously, other take a bit of time, but doesn't matter. Within a day, that's nothing compared to what people, you know, think. It's a week or 2 weeks or something. Forget it. But they don't know what they're talking about. We know they, you know, people, the wicked, you know, is in the darkness. We are in the light.
Amen.
And
Amen.
If we are in the light, we know, and we can, we are going to experience it. If we don't let the wicked influence us. So we have to know where we stand. We have to know to take our place. We take our position, and we, you know, can be, you know, and we can share our testimony with others. And we have, how many people to get this week got a testimony to share with others about the way the Lord works? Okay, just about everybody. And so the idea is that, you know, the Lord, even when we go through something, you know, one, because we are in the world, doesn't matter. You know, the Lord is going to use that to perfect our faith if we are actually, he doesn't put that on us. But we can use that to perfect our faith and to affect other people. So what you have done, you know, you acted on faith. The fact that you physically got tired, that probably go doing through the things, you know, may have been difficult to fight at that moment because you were doing other things. But as soon as you got into the right place, in the right, you know, thinking, the things start to work. And you got the testimony. And this, probably this woman is going to really be affected by what she saw. Amen, your friend. That's good. That's good. That's what we have to do.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay. Mauricio, yes, I'd like to have prayer if and God's touch to have a right heart, a right spirit, and to have the
be there. You have to make the decision. I cannot do it for you. God is not going to do it for you. I told you 1,000 times. This is
what decision.
You had to mix your faith with the word.
Well, that's the thing I wanted to ask is I want to mix.
No, that's
the word.
You.
How do I do that? How?
A decision you make. How many times I tell you, nobody can make the decision. You are the one deciding if you want to get saved or not.
Yeah.
So it's up to you. It's no use for me to praying amiss because this is praying amiss.
Well, can you not pray for God to give me the grace to be able to mix the word with faith that I might get somewhere
grace,
and
grace
go
is
and
received
not be in a
by
circle?
Faith. Grace is received by faith. You know, people think grace is something that God pulls down. Grace is received by faith. By faith we are saved. That's what grace is.
Well, can you pray for my heart to be not evil heart of mine, but believing and trusting and not jaded?
You're not getting what I'm saying.
Maybe I'm not.
Well, can you hear what I'm saying? It's a decision you had to make. Nobody else can make that decision for you.
I believe God's word is true. I know it's true.
No, it's true for you. It's true for you, then I don't need to say anything. Either God says you can decide that, you had to decide that. I cannot do it for you. I said, God, you know, I'm wasting my time. You're wasting my time. If I do that, you know, if I play around, I pray the same thing 2,000 times, I can pray 2 million times, it's not going to work.
Well, I want to get ahead. Whatever is hindering, can that not be broken? What do I have to decide? I'm willing to decide whatever it is.
To believe
but
God.
But what is it?
Believe God.
That's easy to say, but what does it mean in life? Sure, I believe God, you know, but but it's not, you know, the things, these things are still not fixing.
Well, the only thing I can pray for you is that, you know, the Holy Spirit shakes you up.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
Okay? It shakes you up and, you know, bring you to a place in which you are seeing and get revelation, because you have to get revelation. I say the things to you and you don't hear it. Anybody can do what I said. Otherwise, you don't believe what the word says. Everybody, God says that you have to do that. By faith, you please God. You cannot please God in any other way.
I believe that, but I don't feel good on that level of faith. I don't feel I qualify.
You have to start. Well, you see, you put yourself down. You see, you don't believe the word.
No, I believe the word is, but my faith, I see what I haven't received. So it means it's not mixed with faith.
You go by the physical past.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, with that, don't believe in God.
Okay, I just got to hold to what God says, regardless of my experience or success, failure, whatever.
Well, that's exactly. I mean, what salvation is depending on the past?
No.
Okay, so you see, you know that pretty well.
Yes.
So just, you have to do that.
Yeah.
Okay? Nobody else can do it but you.
Yeah. Like I went for ministry and they saying, I said, I'm not believing. I'm hoping God's going to touch me. I don't believe. I'm hoping.
You go by the touch. There's a mega touch. It's not the touch that does it. You see, you want to feel something before you get it. No, you get it and then you say, oh, I got it. You just let go of the things that, you see, you start believing, then the feeling comes, not the other way around. You depend on the physical, don't depend on what that's going to happen. You don't depend on the word. Get in the word, just delight yourself in the word. Forget about the other things.
Yeah.
Forget about, you know, look at the things that are up there, not the things that are down here. No, don't look at the past that you have. Otherwise, you're going to stay there forever.
Yeah. No, I understand, because about salvation, if you believe on your past experience, you could never get saved. So you have to start to believe something that you're not experiencing, and then you will start to experience it.
Okay.
I understand that.
What you said, apply it.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it doesn't take ages, it takes one fraction of a second.
Yeah.
But then you have to hold on to that. Don't go back on the past.
Yeah.
That's much more effective than any. How many times you got prayed for that?
Yeah.
How many more times you want to be prayed for that?
Yeah. But Maurizio, for years I was in emptiness, loneliness, depression. Well, and I was not going by feelings. I was going, I just confessed 1 John 1:9. I kept confessing sins.
Yeah, but you didn't.
But I felt rotten all the time. I said, there's something wrong with my Christianity to feel this way all the time.
You go back there, don't you?
Well, I'm saying that I have tried to live not by feelings, but it's supposed to be by faith, I know.
Well, if you try, it doesn't work. That's not faith. You do, and it's going to come to pass. Otherwise, God is lying. That's what you're saying.
God is what?
Lying.
Oh, yeah, no. I was just confessing my sins, that's all, and believing that I'm forgiven.
Confessing the sins is not enough. Yeah. It's believing that you are forgiven that is what's required.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't even need to confess your sins. You confess that you have sinned, period. You need to go around making the list of them because you don't remember them all. And if you won't try to remember them all, you're going in bondage because you're never going to never know if you said them all or not.
Oh, okay.
The only thing you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. That's it. But I believe that what Jesus did is good for even for my sinfulness. And that's all. And you just start believing that he has done it. And that's the way you get the grace to start feeling different. But you start believing it before anything happens. And in that very moment, you get it. But if you start thinking the way we were in the past, then you'll go back there. Because then
thinking about how I feel, how come I made that decision, but I still don't feel happy or whatever, right? Like, don't go by that. Don't think about that.
No, but the thing is, so you're going to feel happy the more you really believed it.
Yeah. Okay.
You just, you know, if you don't feel happy, that means you have to believe it even bit more. I mean, you have to reject any other thing. You know, I mean, the thought can come, the attacks can come, but you just to reject them says, no, I don't care. You know, I don't care. Today I'm woke up in a bad mood. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to start worshiping the Lord and get into praise and just start dancing around. And after a while, you're going to see that the thing Amen. Is not there anymore.
Yeah.
Refuse to be pushed around.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, Mirchu. It was a, like what you're saying is a it hurt, you know, but to be honest, I'm in need. I'm needy in this area.
Yeah,
faith.
I know.
Sure.
I know, but, you know, man, if men could do it, how many times you got prayed would have happened already?
Yeah.
See, the key things is the receiver at the end has to be the person that believes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. And so to have the faith to receive, you got to go back to the teachings of like Brother Hagen and all that. It's just the basic what God says.
Why is not? Just go to the word. Because Brother Hagen can have said something that wasn't completely perfect. The word is perfect. So just go to the word. Just peel out the word, put it together, start living it. The more, and if that's not enough, just do more of it. Until you delight yourself in it, and the thing is, because of the delight you have, changes the way you feel. You don't feel down anymore. You don't feel depressed anymore. You know, you just brought it to the Lord. You know, Philippians 4:9-8, and around there, you know, all those scriptures there applied. You see, those words that gives the process. Some, you know, Proverbs 4:22. And following, you know, gives all the process. If you follow that process, just read those things, go through them, apply them to your situation, and you're going to experience it, and you're going to manifest it. Because that's what God says to do. So it's not because I say, it's because, you know, there are so many places in the Word that says the same thing, and I, you know, at least use 3 or 4 today. You know, and there's always a process. And the process is explained there from the beginning to the end. From the beginning of, you know, you separate yourself from those thoughts, those ideas, from the people influencing you, to down, to meditating on the word, delighting in it. And then, you know, you shall be like a tree planted by the river of life. In everything you do shall prosper. And, you know, that's the whole process.
But you know where it says in Proverbs, keep your heart with all diligence for all, that's what you, I went to that just now. That's fine when your heart's in it, but I don't want to keep my heart where it is now. I want my heart to be different.
You see, you're putting yourself in a hole again. How do you see, what you're doing is looking at the wrong thing and accepting it.
Well, if your heart is good, keep it good. But if your heart is no good, it's got to become good first, then keep it, right?
Look at the word. Meditate on the word.
And ask God to change. I know what you mean. Yeah, okay.
No, ask God to change. You don't even need to ask God to change. You just look at the word and let the word be true to you, and that's it. That's all finished. God is finished. The power is in the word. God doesn't have to do anything.
Well, I've been reading the Bible a lot. You say I read
it too
much. Yeah,
but you have to believe it. You don't believe it. You go back.
Well, that's why I wanted the grace to be able to mix the word with faith, that it might be productive in my life.
You see, you are the same as the children of Israel.
Yes.
Because that's what your experience is. Don't do what they did. They did it so that you don't need to do it. You choose not to do it.
Learn by their mistake.
You see the problem. The moment you see it, the next moment you lose it.
Yeah.
So stop losing it and stay there.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you then. Thanks for that. I just felt I definitely, you hit a sore spot with me, and I'm needy in that area. So
yeah, I understand. Yeah. But what I'm doing is helping you.
Yeah, I understand.
If I would be fooling you and playing the game that everybody plays, then they, you know, I know I waste my time and you waste your time.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Maurizio.
You're welcome. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? I think, you know, many people may have the same type of experience. And if you do, that's the thing that I hope that helped you, because this is what the natural man tend to do. Okay, tend to operate that way because our mind think that way. We have to stop thinking. See, let, you know, Psalm 24, Proverbs 24 there, Proverbs 4, 20, the following says, you know, the next thing is, you know, do not let your mind, your mouth, what was this? Let me see.
Do not let them depart from your ears?
No, not that. Later on.
Eyes, yes.
Just a second. I'm going to go there. There it is. Okay. Keep your heart and so put away. Verse 24. Yes. 424. I was right. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. A deceitful mouth is a mouth that says things that God doesn't say, that are contrary to what God said. So if one says, well, you know, I don't feel it, didn't work, that means, you know, you didn't believe the word. Put the perverse lips from your lips, from you. So again, this is anything that speak contrary to what you want to believe has to be demolished and rejected before you even say it, because you identify, wait a minute, that doesn't agree with what the word says. Just go. And you speak the word instead. Anybody, you know, this is a normal thing. It's not that this so strange. You know, that's what we naturally, what our thinking, our logic wants us to do. But we cannot go by our logic. You know, spiritual thing, they have to be spiritually discerned. You go to the word, you see the word, and you stand on the word, and you are there picking up anything that is contrary to that and reject it. That's the way you guard your heart with all diligence. Anything that comes to you, any thought that comes to you contrary to the word, you say, no, that doesn't agree. That's a lie. That's not the truth. Then you're going to, you know, you may have to do at the beginning 10 million times. And if you do it 10 million and once, you know, go right ahead and do it, because that's what you have to do. The point is, once you got settled, see, his word is settled in heaven, has to be settled in your heart. And you are going to be settling it. Nobody else can. I'm going to repeat these things probably a million times already. But, you know, even each time that, and I see that because I've been repeating it so many times, lots of people start to receive on a regular basis without waiting for too much. But we all can not do it properly, including myself. Okay, sometimes I'm just as faulty as anybody, you know, in some areas, not in some areas worse than, you know, depending on the areas that we have, according to our experiences, our response will be determined by that. The point is, no, it doesn't matter what the response in the past is, you know, God has the power to change that situation. And we have to really get to the place in which we realize that we are in that area and not coming to the rest. And we say, no way, I'm not going to be moved. I receive, the word says, you know, by strap by meal, or, you know, I'm more than a conqueror, or whatever it is, I'm going to stay there.
Amen.
And that's protecting your heart. It's you protect your heart. God is not going to protect your heart. The circumstances you are in, the world we are in, we are going to be bombarded all the time by thoughts of the world. We have to take a position and stand on the word of God.
Amen.
They're going to throw us wrong theology, wrong beliefs, wrong things, you know, and we can go under with them because they are blind and they, you know, cannot see. They are in darkness. We are in light. And if we see darkness coming, we have to go back to the light. That's all. See, this is really very practical application, and I explained it 3 to 4 times, but, you know, go through the process, listen to it 100 times, you know, let it build you up, start accepting it instead of looking at yourself. Don't look at yourself, look at the word. Don't be distracted. It's distraction, it's losing. Look in one direction. Don't go to the right or to the left.
Follow Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. You know, you do that, I'll tell you, you got the victory coming. And it's not because I say it. It's because the word says it. And if it's not true, then God is a liar. Simple as that. You have to get to that place. I mean, we have to be consistent with ourselves. You know, if we accept something that is different, then we are not consistent. We are not lining up ourselves. Okay, so we have to line up ourselves with the word.
Amen.
And when there is a difference, you know, we bring everything to the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
So we cast down any thought, any idea, anything, because otherwise we are going to be wavering. And if you are wavering, we are in unbelief, and if we're in unbelief, that is, you know, we accept the evil art. The evil art, evil is something else that is simply different from God's perspective. You know, we think evil are some things, some special sins. Forget it. Doesn't matter. There is no sin is big enough to be, you know, stopping us from being free. Because Jesus' power and ability are bigger, and he's sitting at the right hand of God, you know, above all principalities, powers, and dominions, and he gave that authority to us. And so, as we are part of that kingdom, there is nothing can stop us.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce.
I'm not talking just to people there. I'm talking to everybody. I'm talking to myself. Okay? It's not just, you know, this is really something that we have to tell ourselves all the time.
Amen.
Because the world wants us to put us in a different direction. The world wants to put us like everybody else. And we have to protect our heart. When we start doing that, we start seeing miracles happening every day. That's what I saw happening this week in so many different ways. That instead of, see, these things are, you know, somebody, oh, panicky, you know, big deal, everybody's going to get sick. You know, anybody I know that gets sick, got COVID, I picked up the phone just to call them because I was expecting them to be healed. And that's the manifestation we got.
Amen.
All right. You know, it started with you, Lucy, what? And then with the other, but I was already there. Everything, you know, one of the reasons is that this series I've been teaching that has really been building up our faith. You know, the last week message, if you want, is perfecting your faith. Okay? That's what we want to see. start applying this principle that I've been talking about, and you're going to perfect your faith. You, people say, pray for me that they have faith. No, 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 no. I'm wasting my time. Nobody can pray for you that you, you know, get stronger faith. You get stronger faith by perfecting it, applying what I'm saying today and what I said last week. And if I had to say another 100 times, I will.
Can I say something, Pastor?
Go ahead.
It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more you put yourself in the Bible, the more you'll see God's working and its faithfulness.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, you focus on the word. Yeah. But you had to listen to it. You had to hear it. You know,
and focus apply on it.
Apply it. You know, apply it. Put it in your own position. And then, you know, things are going to start moving. There's no way. If we really honestly do it, you know, and don't let yourself waver.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, well. Good. Well, I hope that you got something today?
Yes, I did. Enjoyed it thoroughly.
That's okay. Very good.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Mauricio.
Yeah, I needed this.
Yeah.
We all need it. I need it. And
get up from all this.
I've been applying it. And that's why I can preach about it.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. See, Philippians there says, as you have seen me doing this, just you can do it too. Anybody can do it.
Yeah.
God doesn't do something for some people and not somebody else. Everybody is the same. He has no preferences. Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter where you go. Doesn't matter, you know. What matters is you believe the word and allow the word to become reality in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
There are no special cases. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Mauricio. That was a great teaching today. And I think I learned something as well as you were speaking with Peter. So thank you for that. Help me very much. So thank you.
Well, I believe that may have helped others too. And that's why I chose, instead of playing the religious game and pray for him, try to explain to him what is going to make a difference.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mauricio. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Mauricio.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The Lord is good.
Have a good man.
Amen. All the time. All the time.
Everybody, including myself.
We have seen this week how good he is. Amen. Because I don't think it would have been any better.
God.
You're going to see other things happening, you know, even more. Because I believe
praise that God.
People's faith is going to be perfected. And I expect my faith to be perfected, and I expect other people to be perfected, because if they do exactly the same thing that I'm doing, they should be getting the same result I'm getting, and maybe I can get something from them too.
Praise God. How do we go?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
All right. So if we don't need any more praying, if you know anybody that still got COVID, or anybody that you know that got COVID from, is not even part of our church, just tell him to call me. I'm better than the vaccine, because the vaccine doesn't work, but looks like the prayer works.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Okay.
I strongly believe that.
Yeah.
All right. So you have a good Sunday. Have a good week.
Thank you, Pastor. You too.
God bless you.
Grow in the Lord.
Bless everybody.
God bless everybody. Bye now.